Dillon Brothers has the best selection of new and used bikes in the heartland. What are you waiting for? They've got the bike. Make 2017 the year you grab your freedom. Dillon Brothers. Grab your freedom. Come on,
let's ride. Reminder, tomorrow on the show, Brian Munson will give us the very latest in all of the recruiting moving and shaking after a pretty amazing Friday Night Lights camp. Had a whole bunch of four- and five-star guys. Had to make a pretty darn good impression on them. The number that was floated out there was 6,718. But we had Robin Washington on the show yesterday, and he said he thought that was number was maybe a little low, that it was maybe even closer to 10,000. So get the very latest from Brian Munson. That's tomorrow. And then Coogler, post-CWS Coogler. Ought to be a very happy Coogler. I'd imagine he's drinking some summer shandies as we speak. You know, whenever we get into the discussion of top college football jobs or college basketball jobs or just top college athletic spots, I always have a certain place in my top five, and that's Florida. Like, I remember a couple of years ago after Will Muschamp was fired and Florida football job was open, and I remember I was saying that I thought Florida was a top five job, Florida football. And I remember getting some pushback. Nah, you're crazy. Miami's better. Florida State's better. All that. I think in terms of top football jobs, in no order, I think it's USC, Texas, Ohio State, Florida, and then Bama or LSU to me. Like, those are the top jobs. Florida's a great spot. And to me, the proof is kind of in the banners, right? And you think about not just football, but basketball and now baseball, the three big sports that really drive revenue and people care about. Baseball, basketball, football. Think about the past 11 years for Florida's athletic department. Florida won back-to-back college basketball national championships in 2006 and 2007. Florida won two college football national championships, two BCS titles in 2006 and 2008. And now, after last night, Florida's won a national championship in baseball. So the three big sports, the three sports that really matter in college athletics, Florida's won a title in all three in the past 11 years. They have five total in the past 11 years. So my thing is, when you talk about sports dominance in recent memory, Florida's got to be at the top of that conversation. In a sport where it's challenge, or in a world where it's kind of challenging to be good simultaneously at basketball, baseball, and football, Florida has been. They've had elite coaches and Billy Donovan, Urban Meyer, Kevin O'Sullivan, feels like Jim McElwain's that guy. Mike White brought him to, what, the Elite Eight last year? I just think we look at the whole picture. It's pretty hard to not be extremely impressed with what Florida has done collectively in the big three sports with college athletics. Pretty impressive last night for them to add another championship banner to their resume. You know, we're almost a week removed from the NBA draft, and I was thinking about this. There were always there and this happens every year, but there were a handful of obviously underclassmen last week that didn't get picked. And now a lot of those guys are in tough spots where they're kind of beginning that really difficult journey of trying to make the NBA as an undrafted free agent, which is hard. So this whole process is interesting. Like, that it's currently... First it was, guys can't even test the waters and come back. Can't even do that. Then that gets changed, where now players, underclassmen, go through the pre-draft evaluation process as long as they don't hire an agent, then come back. Obviously, they have to withdraw their name by a certain date over a month before the draft. So at least that's progress in the right direction, helping the players make as much of an informed, good decision as possible. But I wonder if we'll ever see the day where players, once they're eligible to be drafted, don't have to declare. They're just flat out eligible to be picked. And if they're drafted and they don't like the spot, they can come back. I wonder if we'll ever see that day. My guess is we won't. Because you think about the current situation, there are three entities involved. You got the NBA teams, the college players, and the college coaches. Those are kind of the three big things involved. Big groups. And that proposed deal of allowing players, hey, once they're eligible, you can draft them and they can come back. They don't have to declare. That proposed deal would only benefit the college players. And of course, they are typically the powerless. The NBA teams don't want to pick a player and then have them say thanks but no thanks. And that situation would also be tough for college basketball coaches in terms of not knowing who will have on their roster and recruiting accordingly. Like, for instance, if this proposed situation was actually happening, Marcus Foster is eligible to be drafted even though he didn't declare. What if Marcus Foster gets picked in the second round, likes the spot, and leaves? And all of a sudden, Creighton doesn't have a Marcus Foster, and it's mid-June. It's a tough spot. But what's also a tough spot is when a kid gets bad advice, declares for the draft, goes undrafted, and is now in a really tough spot where you have guys that are likely going to go through a year bouncing around from summer league teams, maybe get invited to a training camp, maybe have a few D-League stints, and most likely end up overseas, or maybe some of those guys would have been better off going undrafted and saying, you know what, I'm just going to come back to college for a year. So it's hard. There's no perfect solution. But I know as it currently sits, the three major entities involved, the big groups, got the NBA teams, the college players, and the college coaches. The current system helps the NBA teams and college coaches the most. So my guess is it'll stay that way, even though there's a lot of kids that get bad advice. And listen, they ultimately got to make their own decision, and they got to live with it. There's a lot of people that get bad advice and enter too early. They go undrafted, and then they're in a tough spot. Because trying to make the NBA as an undrafted free agent is tough. It is not easy. And so I'm of all the things that are interesting to me for the future of basketball on a variety of levels, NBA, college, all that stuff, I'm really interested what the new rules, if they ever get changed, will be in terms of an age limit for the NBA, what the one and done looks like for college basketball, if we ever gravitate away from you have to come to college for a year. If you come to college, you got to be there for 2 years. Like, I wonder what all that is going to look like in a couple of years. I mean, again, Adam Silver has said they're going to look at that. So things could ultimately, there could be some big changes that impact a lot. So we'll see. So good stuff today. Make sure you go download the Best Of podcast. Mailbag was a blast. Ryan McGee, Scott Shanley were money. Talked about a little bit about Nebraska's schedule. And I went through and I ranked all of Nebraska's, how tough the Nebraska game is for each opponent. And my average ended up being that Nebraska, on average, was the fourth toughest game for their opponent. Which was just, it was an interesting exercise because it goes to show you that Nebraska's still got a long ways to go. How do you know you've arrived before you're hanging banners? It's when you're consistently the toughest or second toughest game on everybody's schedule. And right now, Nebraska's just not quite there. But I thought it was an interesting exercise. That's going to be on the podcast. Tomorrow, Kugler and Munson. Make sure you go check out 1620thezone.com. Let's take a break. You can tweet your favorite Zone hosts and shows anything, anytime on the Trusted Choice Zone Twitter feed. And coming up next, get our crossover game right. John Bishop, Josh Peterson, next.